God. Praise God. Well, hallelujah, hallelujah. How comforting is that? Amen. That's the greatest alarm system that I know. Amen. Is to know that Jesus is in the house, even in the midnight hour. And when seemingly everything else is calm and sleeping, and all Jesus is in the house and he's watching over us and protecting us. And I'm not necessarily talking about the building. Can I confess to you? If Jesus was only in this building, I wouldn't leave. You'd have to bring me my food. I'd have to bring a pillow. But Jesus is a comforter. And I know when I leave this building, Jesus is still in the house. I say when I'm too sick to make church, Jesus is still in the house. When the doctor throws his hands up and says, that's all I can do, Jesus is still in the house. Amen. Glory to God. When you look at the checkbook and your money runs out before the month does, hey, that's all right. Jesus is still in the house. He even found tribute money in the mouth of a fish. Praise God. We just have faith with a grain of mustard seed. Amen. God can move mountains for us. Well, I feel the presence of God. How about you this morning? Do you love Jesus? Give him a hand. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Praise God. I know there's sickness. I know there's affliction. I know there's devastation. I know there's problems. Amen. But I serve a mighty big God. Amen. A God that is able. I'm so glad that he's able. If you have your Bibles this morning, I just want to get right into the Word of God, if we can, in the book of Joel. Man, I want to go to the third chapter of the book of Joel this morning. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. I won't keep you standing long. But I'd like to begin in the ninth verse this morning of the third chapter from the book of Joel. Read down through verse number 14, if I may. When you get there, say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
The Bible says, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened, and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Can we bow our heads and pray? Father, we just love you. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus is in the house. Father, and for that comfort and that promise, we're never alone. And I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for the battles, God, that through you we have been victorious over. And Father, I pray this morning, God, that you would reach down, God, and fill every need in this house this morning. God, comfort those who are down. God, strengthen those who may be weak. God, heal and anoint those who may be suffering. Father, I ask you this morning, Lord, to anoint your messenger. God, just a servant, Lord, that you would anoint these lips of clay this morning, God, as a vessel and an oracle to speak that you would have us to hear. God, that we may be submissive and obedient to your word. Father, more than anything, we remember those who are lost today, God. Multitudes who are lost. Multitudes who seemingly are unconcerned. Father, I pray for a moving of your spirit so mighty, God, that it'll shake the very foundations of this earth. Father, I pray, God, that revival will break out. God, that souls might be saved. God, because we see, Lord, that curtain is almost drawn. And Father, I pray that all here are ready when that day shall come. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord praise. You may be seated. Glory to God. Thank you for standing this morning for the reading of God's Word. I love God's Word. Need your prayers this morning. I pray that God would give me deliverance bring to you the message that He has laid upon my heart. If I had a message title this morning, it would be The Valley of Decision. The Valley of Decision. This is a prophecy of the restoration of Judah and Jerusalem. If you'll understand and know, you biblical readers, that Jerusalem, or the nation of Israel, was divided at this time. There was part in Judah, part in Jerusalem, but they were still the people of God. They were still Israel and the descendants of Jacob or Israel. And because of a number of different reasons, mostly brought on upon this situation by themselves, that it was a backslidden nation. They had let things filter into their life and into their worship that was displeasing unto God. And the enemy came in. Do you know this morning that the enemy is looking for a loophole? He's looking for not really an open door, just a crack in the door, just so he can get his foot in, just so he can come in and vex you and torment you and cause dissension and cause confusion and cause anything he can to get your mind and your focus off of God. And unfortunately, this had happened to Israel, and the enemy had come in and overtaken them, and a number of things had happened there to them, and God got full of it, to be honest with you. God, let me tell you something. I see a fulfillment. I see a prophecy. I see a parallel of the day that you and I are living in. And then one of these days, I believe that God's gonna be full of it. He's gonna have enough of it. Amen. Thank God that there is a remnant. And I see this as a restoration. I see this as a restoring of God's people, a gathering of God's people. Let me flip over to verse number 1 and verse number 2 this morning to kind of give you a timeline and kind of lay a little bit of groundwork to where God is using Joel here to prophesy to his people. In verse number 1 of the 3rd chapter, the prophet writes, "For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land." Can I remind you this morning that the name Jehoshaphat means Jehovah judges? I said Jehovah judges. Often in my time as pastor and minister, I've had a number of people, "Brother Eddie, what do you think about so-and-so?" And I reply to them, "I am not their judge. God never called me to be a judge. I am not qualified to be a judge. I'm a servant of God, a minister, one who attends to the needs of others. I am in the capacity of being a servant that's bringing forth what thus saith the word of the Lord." But let me tell you something. God is a judge, but He is a fair judge. He cannot be manipulated. He cannot be snowed over. He knows our past. He knows where we stand. He knows our rising up, and He knows our laying down. He knows everything there is to know about us. So the valley of decision is basically physically the valley of Jehoshaphat, but it means the valley where God Himself is going to judge. Now, what is so significant about that? The prophet promises that by divine retribution. You know, so many people said, "I wish there was somebody that could straighten this mess out." There is. Amen. Amen. But the somebody that they're looking for in the wrong places. They're looking for in a political realm. They're looking for some superman. They're looking for some person that can come in and right all wrong. Let me tell you something. He's already visited earth. I said He's already come. He's already given His life. For 33 and a half years, He walked this earth. He's not walking this earth anymore in the body of flesh. Amen. But how many knows He's still here? Amen. Let me tell you something. There is only one hope that we have. There is only one who can give us divine retribution. There's only one that can save our soul. A nation can't do it. An army can't do it. Only God, amen, is able, amen, to fix this mess, amen, and to proclaim that victory and restoration again is on its way. And so is the case here. Judah and Jerusalem will be restored, and that judgment will be imposed on their enemies. God reminded the people through the prophet Joel what the enemy had done. They had scattered Judah and Jerusalem among the nations. The Jewish people no longer had a home to call their own. They were here and they were there, little bands here, little bands there, and scattered among these nations that had come in and divided and spoiled their land, which they were. They parted their land, meaning they divided it. They enslaved the people. Do you know that the enemy, regardless of his enticing words, is apt to do nothing more than enslave you and enslave the people that will listen to him? Not only that, the Bible says they sold their children into slavery. Now God here begins to tell the prophet Joel, he says, speak. And this is what's so interesting, because in times past, you know, we've used this scripture to prepare the church. You know, beat your plowshares into swords, and beat your pruning hooks into spears, and call all ye mighty men. And that there is a time, amen, to rally the church. There is a time to rally God's people, amen. There is a time to rise up. The song says, let the church rise up, amen. Let me tell you something, there is a time for the church to rise up, but I want to also tell you through prophetic words in the Bible, there is a time that God is going to rise up. Amen. Let me tell you, what the church may not can do, God can do. Amen. What the denomination may has failed to do, my God can do all things. Amen. I believe that with my heart. And I believe that we're facing a situation, amen, where the church really can't help. Amen. I believe we're facing a situation where it's going to take the mighty hand of God, divine intervention, divine, amen, a moving of the power of God. And I believe there's going to come revival. I have preached so many times that the revival may not look like you think it's going to look. We may think of a revival as coming in and restoring the little band that we serve, or we purposely get together. But I believe that God's going to have an end time revival. I believe folks that you never thought was going to be saved, I believe God's going to have a people. I believe people, amen, that have been turning their back on God are going to see such a mighty move of God. They're going to feel such a powerful anointing of God that souls are going to be saved because they found they can't get any relief out of the world. They can't get anything, any help from any other place. It's got to come from God. And I believe God is about ready to pour out His Spirit upon those who are hungry, upon those who need a move of God. Amen. I want to be a part of that, don't you? I want to be right in the middle of that, don't you? In whatever capacity the enemy has. We thought for so many years, church, prepare your pruning hooks. Beat your plowshares into swords. Let the weak say, I am strong. But can I remind you of something? God spoke through Joel. In verse 9, he said, proclaim this, not among the church. Proclaim this among God's people. He didn't say that. I want to be as gentle with this next few words as I possibly can. It's never been my intent to be offensive. Amen. I don't want to be that way, but let me tell you something. In my way of thinking and understanding, there has been more than sufficient proclamation already to the church. I don't believe there's a church person in the sound of my voice today that doesn't say we haven't been warned. We know where our salvation lies. We know what the prophetic books of the Word of the Bible tells us. We know what's coming. Amen. If the things catch you by surprise, then shame on us for not listening to years and years and years of sermons and messages and reading the Word of God and praying that God is letting the church know what is going to happen. He said, no, don't go to the church and proclaim it. Don't go to Judah and Jerusalem and proclaim it. He said, go claim it among the Gentiles.
house. Go claim it among your enemies. Go claim it among those who has wrongfully used you. Go claim it upon those who have enslaved you. Go proclaim it upon those who have sold your children into slavery. Let me tell you something. They may not be a physical evidence of that today, but let me tell you something. People's children all over this world have been sold into slavery. The slavery of sex addiction. The slavery of drug addiction. The slavery of alcohol addiction. Yes, there is a demon, but yes, there is a Savior too, and His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And I'm here today to proclaim to you that God is going to win the battle. Can you say amen? It's time for our children to come back. It is time for our lost husbands and our lost wives and our lost moms to come back. Amen. I believe God's getting ready. I believe God's pouring out. I believe His Spirit is reaching out. Hallelujah. Well, Eddie, you sound serious. I have never been more serious in my life. God's Word is serious. His yeas are yea and His nays are nay. No. God is telling the enemy, you get ready with all you got. You beat your plowshares into swords. You look at the Word. That's who He's talking to. He's talking to the enemy. He's talking to the Gentiles, the heathen, He calls them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In some areas, we're known as infidels. I got a word for you, Satan. I don't care what you call me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You may call me an infidel. And if I understand that definition to your way of believing, I am an infidel. Because I don't believe what you're selling. I don't find it in my Bible. I don't find it in the promises of God. You can call me an infidel all you want to, but all I care about being called is a child of the high, most high God, a born again, blood bought Christian, a man who has sold out to the world, been baptized in His name, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, on my way to victory, on my way to heaven. Praise God. He don't offend me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory. No, God said. God said. Enemy, listen to me. You beat your plowshares into swords. You beat your and your pruning hooks. You beat them into spears. And then He said, go ahead and assemble yourself. Hallelujah. You know, I've heard people say, I just don't understand how half the nation can believe like that. Let me tell you something. You better wake up, child of God. Hallelujah. You better wake up, church. You better wake up, First Pentecostal Church. Amen. When we see a majority going against God, you better look out. Hallelujah. God's fixing to do something. Glory to God. Let me tell you, time and time and time again, God didn't work with the majority. He worked with the minority. When we become the minority, God's going to raise up. Hallelujah. You don't have to worry about the battle. You don't have to worry about the war. Now God's going to do it. I said, now God's going to do it. He's more than able. Go ahead, enemy. Bring me all you got. Go ahead, enemy. Come and just be with everything you got. But it'll be fruitless. It'll be pointless. Because God will triumph us. Oh, give Him praise. Give Him praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I need a cheer pill where I can finish this message. I haven't got to the meat of the message yet. Hallelujah. Maybe I need a spiritual Valium. I don't know. But I get to thinking about whose side I'm on. Let me rephrase that. I begin to think about whose side, who's on my side. Amen. God's on my side. Come on, enemy. Bring me all you got. You better get ready. You better use your best weapons. You better alert every demon in hell. Come on. Every terrorizing demon of anxiety, stress, fear, anger. All of these enemies, you better get ready. Hallelujah. Because I want them all grouped together. Because I'm going to defeat you one final time. Amen. You're not going to be able. You remember when God led the children of Israel across the Red Sea. He said, you look at Egypt. You look at them. Because that's the last time you're going to see them. That's the last time you're going to see anxiety. That's the last time you're going to see stress. That's the last time you're going to see fear. That's the last time you're going to see anguish. My Lord and mercy. I get so excited. Sometimes I can't help but praise Him. I can't help but love Him. I know what's coming. Hallelujah. The Word of God is promising victory to the church, victory to the remnant, victory to the people who hold on to Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Glory to God. Clearly, God is taunting the enemy to come and fight a war they cannot win. Let me tell you that again. Let me catch my breath. Clearly, God is taunting the enemy to come and fight a war he cannot win. That's the reason God said, you better get all you got. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I want you to bring it into the valley of decision. Granted, there has been times when the message of decision should go out. I heard the message of decision years ago in a little church in Rockmore, Georgia. And thank God I came down and made my decision. Many of you, hopefully every single one of you today, have heard the message of the call of decision. And you decided to follow Christ. You decided that the allure and the enticement of the world was not worth it. Many of us, including me, have tested it, tried it. Man, but thank God we've been delivered from it. Hallelujah. Unfortunately, there's many, many people today have not made that decision. They're still being lured and enticed by the things of this world. But from what I feel this morning, and from what I can see in the congregation, I see a church that has made a decision to follow Christ, to leave the world behind, to not listen to the voice of the enemy, to not be swayed, amen, by the lies and all of the innuendos and the falsehoods that the enemy brings against us. But you have drawn that spiritual line in the sand, and you said, I've crossed over, and I'm not going back. God has brought me too far. I will not go back, amen, to where I came from. Thank God for that decision. And for that, we have the promise of glory. Heavenly place that Jesus Christ Himself has prepared. But again, can I remind you, this prophetic message is not really to the church. It's to the enemy. Amen. By this time, again, I don't want to be offensive, but by this time, the church shouldn't have to make its way down to the valley of decision. There's a song that says, I got my foot on the rock and my mind's made up. Hallelujah. I have come too far. I do not have anything to turn back to this world. Amen. I don't desire it. I don't want no part of it. I've been delivered from it. Thank God that I made my choice, and my choice is Jesus and the salvation of His precious shed blood. But the prophetic message here is clearly the enemy come down to the valley of decision. Not their decision. I said not the enemy's decision. My Bible says God won't strive with man always. Let me tell you something. If you're not for God, you're against God. There's no middle of the road. There's no sitting on the fence. You're either saved or you're not. You're either bound for heaven and you know the other place. There's only two places the Bible tells us. But let me tell you something. You don't want God making your decision. Think on that. Chew on that. Amen. Because God's going to make His decision based upon your life. Had it not been for Jesus, had it not been for a place called Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for that precious blood that flowed down God, the Lord's body. I'm not talking about the little hands that were punctured in the feet. I'm talking about the blood that poured down the body of Christ. Redeeming power was in that blood. I made my decision when I came to the altar and I said, God, I don't want to stand before You unprepared. I don't want to stand before You with my own merit. I don't want to stand before You with my own goodness. I don't want to stand before You with my own righteousness. I read where the Bible said, my righteousness is as filthy rags. God, I don't want to stand before You unless I have been prepared by the blood of Jesus Christ. Unless I have accepted Him as my Lord and my Savior. And then, Lord, when I stand before You, all I'm going to do is show the blood. Plead the blood. Tell You, I know I was lost. I know I was worthless. I know I was unrighteous. But I made the decision to make Jesus my Lord. To make Jesus my Savior. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No. Amen. If you haven't been to make that decision, you need to make that decision now. But God said, tell them to come down to the valley of decision. The valley of Jehoshaphat, which means Jehovah judges. Amen. We get so perplexed. We get so frustrated today. We look at things and we don't know what's truth. We don't know what's innuendo. We don't know what's lies and falsehoods. And it's depending upon a judge who's merely got to hear the evidence. But imagine, if you will, standing before the judgment seat of God. And we will. We will, prepared or unprepared. And having this judge not even having to question us. Because our life is an open book before Him. And He looks through our book of life and finds everything but the blood of Jesus. Don't care what family you're from. Doesn't matter what church you belong to, how much tithes you've paid, how many people you've helped, how many good deeds you have done. All of that is well. All of that is a byproduct of salvation. None of that is salvation. If He can't find the blood, you'll hear those words, depart from Me, thou worker of iniquity. Glory to God, you cannot enter in. I don't want to be in that position. I want to make my decision today. And my decision is to have Jesus Christ as my Lord, my Savior. Not their decision, but it's my decision. Verse 14. few and small are the people in the valley of decision. Because if you listen to the world today, nobody's going to be lost. God is a God of love. He's just going to love us all into heaven. Find that in the scripture. Please come read it to me. But you know what? Even if you found a Christian scripture to read that, I still like my way better. I still like having Jesus in here. Glory to God. Praise God. I heard one preacher say, I'd rather arrive in heaven with a barrel too much than lack a thimbleful. Yeah, chew on that a little while. Amen. Well, it don't take that to get to heaven. Yeah, but it sure is fun making the trip. Glory to God. Hallelujah. No, God's going to know. God's going to know. He said multitudes. Multitudes. Can I tell you that hit me where I live? That hit me where I live. Sometimes we get complacent in our four and no more. Our few and that'll do. Let's just have church, feel good, praise the Lord, and go home. Amen. But God said multitudes. Said it twice. Multitudes in the valley of decision. I believe with all of my heart the day of salvation is still at hand. I'm not proclaiming to you that it's over. But I am telling you it could soon be. Oh, brother, I've been hearing that all my life. What is your life? What is our life? The Bible says it's a vapor. It's here today and gone tomorrow. Take a stroll down the cemetery plots. You get my age, you begin to look at them and you think, my Lord of mercy, there's a lot of young people done gone. We're one breath away, one heartbeat away from judgment. Don't stand in that valley of decision without making preparation. Because what you've done is relinquished the decision to God. And God will make the decision. And it won't be pretty. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Don't wait for God to decide your judgment. Hallelujah. I've heard all of my life. We've got plenty of time. I don't know where that comes from. I honestly don't understand. Maybe they're looking at the lives of other people. And I know God is a just God. And He is a just God now. He's a saving God. Why not take advantage of His saving grace now? Rather than be one. And I've heard people say, well, I won't be the only one in hell. What comfort is that? I wouldn't find any comfort in that. None whatsoever. But our forefathers, our patriarchs, our songwriters of old, they knew it. If we talk about that great day of judgment, there's a day of judgment coming. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Don't be one of those that go down into the valley of decision. The valley of Jehoshaphat. The valley of Jehovah judges. Because you won't be judged on your merits. You'll be judged on the blood of Jesus Christ. You'll be judged on a blood-bought salvation, a born-again experience with Christ. I see such a type and shadow of this particular story of the day and hour that you and I are living in. I mentioned it before. No, we as a nation have not been broken up, or we have not been overrun, and we have not been our land divided. But spiritually, you think about that and you say, yeah, Lord, this kind of applies. This is kind of the state of the people that we know, not only in this nation, but in this world. In this world. You don't have to go very far to see that people's minds are not on God. It's not salvation. You know, most of the time when you ask or pose that question to a person, the first thing they'll tell you, well, I'm as good as most people. That is not salvation. That is not salvation. To me, you're saying, well, that's okay. I'm gonna trust my eternity to the other multitudes who stand in the valley of decision. I'm gonna wait and let God make that decision. Let me tell you something. God has already made provision. He sent a mediator. He has sent a propitiation. What is that? He sent an ambassador. He sent an attorney for me. Amen. You know, when the devil comes to get me and he's got all these accusations, I said, let me call my lawyer. You want to really mess up the mind of Satan? Let me just refer you to my lawyer. You can find him in almost any spiritual directory. His name is J-E-S-U-S. Jesus! Oh, hallelujah! Glory to God. And as I'm sitting there and the enemy has me all bound and the enemy thinks, I got you right where I want you. It may be in a hospital room. It may be in a situation at work. It may be facing all kind of problems. But all you got to say, wait a minute. I want to refer you to my lawyer. And then Jesus comes into the house. I said, Jesus walks into the room. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All fear leaves me. All anxiety leaves me. Hallelujah. I'm praying God. All you got to do is ask Him. Just refer to Him. Hallelujah. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. Glory to God. I don't have to say another word. Jesus, you take care of the situation. Why? Because I've made my decision. And my decision is irreversible. My decision is complete. My decision is not bound by change. My decision is to follow Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Prepare. Proclaim this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. There's a war coming. We're already seeing a precedent to that war. It's going to be like, unlike any war you've ever seen. Because the enemy's going to come with everything they got. Can I leave you with a word of comfort? We like comfort, don't we? We like promises. Sometimes we don't like to hear about hell. Sometimes we don't like to hear about judgment. Yeah. Sometimes as small children, we don't even hear the word no. But the Bible's full of no's. The Bible's full of judgment. The Bible's full of commandments, statutes, precepts that we must abide by. But I want to leave you for a little comfort. As I was reading that, and I read over and I read over it and I read over it, every time I read over it, I just got a new feeling and a new promise and a new, not that the word changes, but then when I finally realized that what God was proclaiming to the enemy, I noticed something. He didn't tell me to beat my plowshare into a sword. Brother Chris, he didn't tell me to take my pruning hooks and make a spear out of them. He didn't tell me that, really, that I'm even going to have to fight the battle. Because he assured me. Now, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the enemy. Why would God tell the enemy to fit to make everything that he could available for war. Every weapon, every device, every person, everything that has come against the church, everything that has come against the Christians, everything, amen, that has been such a burden for us. Why would God tell him to get it all? Because God's going to destroy it all in one final swoop. There won't be one weapon left. There won't be one sword left. There won't be one spear left. God's going to totally and absolutely devastate and annihilate everything that Satan and all of his enemies come against. God's going to wrap it all. God's going to be victorious. And we're going to be a part of the winning team. Amen. Because we have made the decision to let the world go by and to follow Christ. Hallelujah. You can take comfort in that. You can take comfort in that. You know, one way of saying it, God said, okay, take it easy. I got this. I got this. Hallelujah. And I can't begin to tell you how comforting that is to me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. To be born again, to be saved, to have the blood of Jesus applied to my life, to know that whenever that day comes, I am ready. I am ready because of Jesus. Would you stand? Please, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you don't remember much else,